Beruchim Abayim Rabotai, welcome to a special edition of our Tuesday night class in the West Long Branch Synagogue, Magen Abraham. Tonight's class is sponsored by our dear friend, Mr. Joey Alaham, for continued success, Bezrat Hashem, in all his endeavors, in all his restauranting, and his career of feeding Klal Yisrael kosher food. May he continue to be successful and have many children, Be'azat Hashem, Dor Yesharim, Amen. Tonight, I'd like to talk about a most important topic that for some reason does not get the proper airtime that it deserves. It's unfortunate that some of the most basic principles of our religion are so neglected. And sometimes we get so caught up in the details and the technicalities that we forget some of the foundations of what our religion is built on. What inspired me to talk about this tonight was that on Shabbatot, we deliver a shi'ur in halakha on the laws of berachot. And I'm fortunate that my rabbi, may live and be well, Hacham Baruch, sits in the shi'ur. Not that I'm worthy for him to sit in the shi'ur, but he's checking on me, he's spotting me, call it whatever you want, but he's sitting next to me listening. So this week, after we finished the halakha part of the shi'ur, Hacham Baruch said, since the discussion is berachot, I want to discuss a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk is, Ve'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem Elohecha shoel mi'imach, ki im liyira et Adonai Elohecha, lalechet bechol derachav, ulahava oto, ve'la'avod et Adonai Elohecha, bechol lebabecha, bechol nafshecha, ve'shmor et mitzvot Adonai ve'et chukotav. Basically, the pasuk says, what does God want from you? What does God ask from you? All He wants from you is to fear Him. Walk in His ways, love Him, serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul, keep all the mitzvot, keep all the rules. So the rabbi asked on this pasuk, which happens to be the pasuk where we learn the law that you have to make 100 blessings every day. That's why he mentioned it, because it says in the pasuk, Ma Hashem Elohecha, so the Gemara plays on the word Ma. You could read Me'ah. What is God asking from you? Make 100 blessings every day. And the rabbi went on in his normal way, a fountain that doesn't end, and said many dirashot on this pasuk. So it got me thinking about this pasuk, a bug in my brain all week on this pasuk. And the startling question of the pasuk is, what is God asking from you? Ki'im liyira'ah. It's all He wants from you, to have fear of Him. Is that a small thing? It's probably the most hardest thing to accomplish. Takes a lifetime to master Yirat Shamayim. That's all we're trying to do all day long, is try to get a little fear of God in our systems. And Moshe Rabbeinu downplays it. He says, what is God asking from you anyway? All He wants you to do is fear Him. That's all. So the Gemara asked this question. The Gemara's language is, Atu yirat shamayim miltazu treteninu. Is yirat shamayim a small thing? The Gemara's answer is more perplexing than the question. The Gemara's answer is, in, yes. Legabe Moshe miltazu tretanin. Yeah, for Moshe it's a small thing. But we're talking about Klal Yisrael. We're not talking about Moshe. For Moshe Rabbeinu, Yirat Shemayim is a small item. But Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to Klal Yisrael. Lehavdil, I'm going to give you a bad example just so you understand what I'm talking about. You know, you have a baseball batter getting up in the ninth inning. They're down by 3 runs and the bases are loaded. You know, so Babe Ruth goes to the guy on deck and says, listen, all we need is a grand slam, and we win the game. All we need.
All we need. They said, yeah, for Babe Ruth, great slaves, easy. Yeah, but he's talking to the guy on deck. I hate the Mashal because I don't even want to connect any of the guys I just mentioned with anything in Torah. It's a terrible. You forgive me. I should to make fidui for that Mashal. But now you understand what I'm talking about. Moshe Rabbeinu says, hey, all we need is, little Yirat Shamayim. And for you it's easy, but for us it's a big thing. So I heard from one Mikubal, he once explained the Gemara like this. In, yes, legabe Moshe, to those that are close to Moshe, Yirat Shamayim is easy. You can imagine the generation of the Midbar. For them, Yirat Shamayim is a piece of cake. They're living with Moshe Rabbeinu all day long. They see a man that's talking to God. They see a man's face that shines like the sun. They hear a man giving prophecy. They see a man that the Gemara says he was half angel, half human. A man that didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights three times. So when you're around that environment of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yirat Shamayim is easy. But when you're in a secular environment, when you're not around the right people, then Yirat Shamayim becomes a daunting task. You know, walk around the streets of Manhattan and Yirat Shamayim becomes something that's almost impossible to accomplish. But if you're in Ma'a Sha'arim, in a good environment, next to people that are all committed, so then, you know, Yirat Shamayim becomes fashionable. Then it already becomes a little easier. So the Gemara is saying, in, yes, legabe Moshe, to those that are near Moshe, it's a small thing. With your permission, I'd like to offer another explanation. The pasuk over here says, all God asks from you is fear of God, and then it starts listing a whole shopping list of things. He wants you to follow His ways, love Him, serve Him, 10 items. So the explanation might be, how do you get to all those other items that are mentioned in the pasuk? Once you master Yirat Shamayim, all those things flow. All he's asking, ki'im li'ira. All you gotta do is get this one item down pat. Once you get that pat, love of God will come automatically. Following God's ways will come automatically. Devotion will come. Observance will come. The key pin is Yirat Shamayim. Ki'im li'ira. That's the Yesod Binyan, its foundation. So this is something to talk about. If they tell you that that's the pivotal subject that opens up the doors to everything else in religion, it's worthy to talk about it for a couple of minutes. Yirat Shamayim. Why is it so hard to have fear of God? Rabbi Yechezkel Levinstein, Zichrono Livracha, once said, we're scared of bees more than we're scared of the judgment on Rosh Hashanah. It's true. We sit in the sukkah, there's a yellow jack that's coming and everybody runs for cover. When you see a mosquito and everybody, hey, screaming, yelling. We're scared of that. A dog walking on the street, you see a dog, you walk on the other side of the street, you want to be casual, you don't want to show that you're scared, you cross the street, you don't want to get involved. So the rabbi was saying why. Why are we scared of more than a bug than Yom HaDin? Well, we don't believe that we're being judged. We don't believe that there's a judgment over whether they're going to live or die. The explanation is, because one you feel and you see, and one you don't see. The bug, it's on my skin. It's stinging me. The dog, I see it's salivating. I see its sharp teeth. I hear its bark. Things that I could sense, I feel. But stuff that's, esoteric. God, judgment. You ask me, I believe it, of course. I swear on a homage, I swear on a homage. It's true and all that. But since you can't touch it, it's not tangible, so then it becomes much harder for us to work up that that fear, or that reality. The Stipler once said, on a Gemara in Nedarim, Amar of Yonatan, Kol ha-ko'es, Kol minei gehinam sholtim bo, Velo od ela shatachtenuyot sholtot bo. The Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Yonatan, anybody that gets angry, all sorts of gehinam rule him. And not only that, but he also gets what's called tachtonuyot, which is a type of physical disease. It's the physical ailment. So the Stipler asks, usually when the Gemara uses that style, and not only that, the Lord, it's giving you something worse, which means you're going to get gehinam. But not only that, you're going to get tachtonuyot. That doesn't make sense. Because if anything worse than gehinam, so your guy gets angry, he's going to get gehinam on the highest level. And not only that, but he's going to get a headache. What's a headache compared to gehinam? So the Stipler says, yeah, to us, a headache is worse than gehinam. Because a headache I feel. A headache I sense. I can feel the pain of the headache. The gehinam, yeah, it's a monster somewhere, fire. Do I believe in it? I believe in it, but I don't see it, I don't feel it, I don't know anybody that was there. So therefore, he's telling you, not only gehinam, I'm going to tell you the real items, like this, tachtoniyot, oh, tachtoniyot, oh. Now you're talking. Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai was on his deathbed. His students came for a blessing. You're familiar with the Gemara, I'm sure. And he gave them a blessing that the students felt that they got shortchanged. He told them, Yehi ratzon sheyehe mora shamayim alechem kemora basar vadam. You should fear God like you fear people. And they told him, that's it? Ad kan? That's the beracha? They thought that, of course, fear God like you fear people. What kind of beracha is that? And the Yohanan said, Ulvai, halvai. When a person's about to commit a sin, what does he do? He looks both ways. Anybody looking? Because he don't want to get caught. Because he has a reputation. He doesn't want people to talk about him. Oh, you see Mr. So-and-so, he committed a sin. But there's God. God's watching. So he said, halvai, you should fear God like you fear people. And what's the shot? Because people you can see. Tangible. You see the eyeballs looking at you. You can hear them talking. So therefore, fear of people is easy to come. But fear of God, as much as you talk about it, but it's not in front of your eyes. You can't touch it. So that's why it's very difficult, Yirat Shamayim. Shlomo HaMelech writes in his Sefer, Az Tavin Yirat Hashem. When it comes to fear of God, he writes, Az Tavin, which means Yirat Shamayim needs Havana, Bina. That means perception, understanding. Shlomo, the wise of all men, was saying it's not an easy item. You go to a couple of classes on Yirat Shamayim, you take a course, and that's it. You accomplish Yirat Shamayim. It's not like learning Safrut, you know. They teach you how to write the Aleph Bet and with the quill on the claf, and that's it. And you're an expert in Safrut. Or it's not like they're teaching you how to check a suit for Sha'atnez. You can't go to a class, a couple of classes, all right, this is Yirat Shamayim, this is how you do it, this is what you have to do. As Tavin Yirat Hashem, it takes deep understanding. Rabbi Dessler, Alam HaShalom, quotes from the Saba from Kelim, that one of the ways to acquire Yirat Hashem, and this is a method he says that the Tzaddikim use, and it's a method he says that even the Avot used, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. This is a patented method, that it works. He says that you have to take all these concepts of our religion and put them in images that are in front of you that you can understand. You have to make from these esoteric concepts, you have to turn them into a reality. I'll explain to you exactly what I'm getting at. To me, this is very comforting, by the way. Which means, till now you might have said, well, I don't know why my Yirat Shamayim is lagging. You know, probably everybody in the street has Yirat Shamayim, and I'm just a regular guy, I don't know how to do it. And they're telling you over here, it's a very hard thing, by the way. It's not an easy thing. But if you're struggling with your Yirat Shamayim, it's normal. And therefore the Hachamim had tricks and ways in order to accomplish Yirat Shamayim. One of the ways was, when they talked about Rosh Hashanah, for example. Example. They talked about Rosh Hashanah. How would we talk about it if we were, you know, trying to give a class? Oh, God, and he's judging, and it's Paha, and the books. But the Gemara says, imagine all the world is coming in front of God like sheep. So what they do? The Chachamim were trying to make it tangible. You tell me you're standing in front of God with books. I don't stand that. But you tell me a sheep that's walking through the little doorway, and there's a guy there branding each sheep. Each one's being judged. Oh, so now already, that means when they went to the farm and they saw sheep right away, what'd they think of? Oh, Yom Adin, Pa'at, Pa'adin. You see, they turned all that stuff that you can't see. They gave a mashal to it. They gave an image to it. They put a picture to it. And these were the masters, by the way. I mean, you think that's childish. Oh, I don't have to do it. I'm a religious man. I'm going to play games like that with sheep and all that. I'm a hashuv guy. I go to shul 3 times a day. This is for, you know, third graders. You got to give them a picture on the blackboard. This is what that means. But I'm an important man. Shomer Shabbat. No, the greatest of the Chachamim knew that Yirat Shamayim, unless you make it real. I'll give you an example. The Stipler says, it's a heavy mashal, but this is the way he is. Obviously, if he's giving the mashal, these are the tricks of the Gedolim. Shemirat Shabbat. So in our minds, you say, okay, so you turn on a light. You don't turn on a light. What's the big deal? So you turn on a light, it's Chilul Shabbat. Oh, what's Chilul Shabbat? Nothing happened. You didn't get electrocuted, yeah, the thing didn't short circuit. It's not that. How bad can it be? So he says, when you, God forbid, if they told you, if you turn on the light, this is the Stipler talking now. It's heavy what I'm going to say now. God forbid a person's going to have a growth in his body. Bar minnan, elif ba'ami. Bar minnan. That's how he looked at it. This over here brings problems. So you ran away from turning on light like the plague. It's contagious. If you touch the light, you get diseased. That's how they looked at it. In this world, the next world, whatever, but they put those examples in their brain in order to make it a deterrent for them. They didn't just say, maybe see it. I saw it. Finish. Don't do it. No, that wasn't enough. The quiet at Shamayim, when they sat there, I don't know if this is kosher or not. So they would think to themselves, if somebody told you there might be poison in this pretzel, would you eat it? Of course not. They told you, well, 99% there's probably no poison. There's only a 1% chance there's cyanide in it. And if you eat it, you're going to die in 5 seconds. Would you eat it? 1% chance, what do I need the pretzel for? So that's how you have to look at something that might not be kosher. Something that's not kosher, that's poison. Finish. Poison. Eat poison. What do you mean? But I eat it, I don't get sick. Yeah, but the neshama is getting poisoned. Again, you're thinking in your mind, what are you giving me baby stories? What are you telling me poison? I don't eat kosher. I'm a religious man. I don't tell it because God said. These were the tricks of the Gedolim. Don't kid yourself. You have to look at those things in those terms. I'll give you another example. On the night of Pesach, it's probably the best example of this concept what we're talking about. We have an obligation to tell the story over when we went out of Egypt. So if it was up to me, sit down with the children, take out the Haggadah, everybody sit down. This is what happened, Par'o, Moshe, plagues. We went out, Pesach, Masa, Maror. But look what the rabbis and their brilliance, in order that you get a feeling, everybody take the matzah and put it over your shoulder. Why? We're going to reenact. Got to reenact the story. And in some homes, they used to go outside to reenact Yisiyat Mitzrayim. Some families used to walk through a pool of water during the Seder in order to reenact Kiryat Yam Suf. They point to the matzah, matzah zu. Yeah, see this matzah? Come here, look at the matzah. Look at this matzah. Maror zu, they point to the maror. Why? The haroset has to look like the cement. Not only in your house, in the Rambam's house, it had to look like cement. Why? Well, the Rambam doesn't know what cement looks like. Well, he needs the visual aid or show and tell. Yes. Because when you see it, it's different. Then it becomes more real. Then the religion becomes alive. It's not just, something, a ritual. Becomes like the bug. There was one rabbi, Chassidish rabbi, Rav Moshe Leib Misasuv. Don't know where Sasuv is actually. But somewhere. He once went on a long trip. When he came home, his children were waiting by the door. Daddy, would you get us? Where are the toys? So he says, I didn't get you anything. So the boy, the kids told the father, you went on such a long trip and you didn't come back with anything? So he fainted. When they woke him up, they said, what happened? He said, wow. Did you hear what just happened? I was reminded, after 120, we're going to go up to Borei Olam. And we're going to come up with not so many mitzvot. And Borei Olam is going to say, you went on such a long trip, 120 years, I sent you. That is what you came back with? You didn't come back with anything. You see how these rabbis thought? They understood every line, they interpreted it. Oh, this is Olam Abba, this is referring to Gan Eden, this is Yom Adin. They took every word and they related real life situations to real life situations. To them it wasn't fantasy. The Hafez Chaim tells a story of a man that lived in one of the towns. They called him Kupal. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it the right way. Doesn't matter what his name was. He wasn't the smartest of men. He was a simpleton. He was like he used to make fun of him in the town. He was like the town fool. He was a miskin. He heard that they're opening up a cigarette factory in the city of Gorodna. And he heard on the day that they open up the cigarette factory, whoever comes to the opening gets two packs of cigarettes. Cheap cigarettes. Bad tobacco. So he heard about it, free cigarettes. So he's got to get from his little town to Gorodna, and it's very far away, and he doesn't have a car, so he walks for 3 days. He's walking. 3 days there, 3 days back. So he comes back to the town, they don't know where he went. So where were you? 6 days you're walking, and who knows how many miles. Where did you get? He takes out his two packs of, time cigarettes, cheap cigarettes. So they start laughing at him. But this is what you walked all this miles, all this distance, you tepesh, you fool.
What kind of logic? What kind of priorities? For two packs of junky cigarettes, you walked, you spent all this energy. So Rav Yitzchayim would say, what do you think? That's going to tell us when we get to Olam Abba. The distance from this world to the Olam of the souls, Olam HaNeshamot, is much further from where this couple walked. And they're going to tell us after 120, you traveled all this distance. So what did you bring? A couple of cigarettes with you? What did you? Where's all the mitzvot? It's not justified. I think it's not laughing. Look at this guy over here. He traveled 100 million light years. For what? What's he got with him? So you see, they took every situation that they saw in real life and they translated into... What does it mean? What does it mean? That was their reality. And any chance that they got to connect something that happened to them in this world, to connect it to that world, they took advantage of it. You know the story of Rav Yisrael Salanter once when he was coming home late at night, he saw the shoemaker working. And he asked the shoemaker, you know, it's very late at night, he said, so long as there's still some oil in the lantern, there's still time to fix. Oh, and Rav Yisrael Salanter started to cry, said, Rabbi, what did I tell you? I didn't say anything. All I said is, as long as there's some oil in the lantern, there's still time to fix. He says, oh, as long as the fire of the neshama is still burning, there's still time to fix. There's still time to fix our ways. There's still time to make teshuvah. What, Rav Yisrael Salanter needed that chiddush from the shoemaker talking about fixing shoes? Without that, he's not going to make teshuvah. But you're learning a trick from the masters here. These are the masters. It's not childish what they were doing. The reason why they reached the levels that they did is because they played these games with themselves. But they made Yirat Hashem tangible. Says Salanta, from time to time, used to put his finger in fire. Don't try this at home. They're going to say, oh, Rabbi Mansell said you have to put your finger in fire. Don't put your fingers in fire. Rabbi says Salanta, but from time to time we do it. Rabbi, what do you do? I want to feel the Gehinnam, what it's going to feel like. And if you told him it's going to be hot, that's not enough. You gotta feel it. The Gemara Sanhedrin writes, you understanding the concept so far? Am I clear what I'm trying to say over here? The Gemara Sanhedrin says, a judge that's sitting in court, a Jewish judge, has to imagine that there's a sword that's thrusted in between his legs and Gehinnam is beneath him. Now go judge. That's supposed to deter him from slanting the judgment, from accepting bribery, from not being fair. What are you talking about? You're talking about Dayan Shel Yisrael. The man knows all of Shas. The man is fluent in 70 languages. A rabbi in the Sanhedrin. Well, we have to scare him with these scare tactics. Now, make believe when you go to court that there's a knife in front of you. What's that all about? Just tell the guy, be honest. What are you intimidating him all of a sudden for? Another Gemara says the judge has to imagine there's a noose around this. The heck? What is all these things over here for? So you see, the greatest of the Hachamim, they needed to put reality to all this stuff over here. The problem is, when we talk about these items, that human beings have the, maybe it's a weakness, that we're able to acclimate very quickly to a situation, and then we get used to it. Which means even you put your finger in the fire, okay, now more scary. But that wears off after a while. The judge, he gets scared, Gainam's under him, it wears off. You get inspired for a moment. Yirat Shamayim is burning inside of you. But what happens is, we forget. We become desensitized to it. As a matter of fact, David HaMelech, even David HaMelech was concerned about this. David HaMelech said in Tehillim, Ahad sha'alti me'et Adonai ota avakesh, Shifti bebet Adonai kol yimehayai lachazot benoam Adonai ulbaker behechalo. David HaMelech said, God, please, I have a request. Shifti bebet Adonai kol yimehayai. Give me the zechut to sit in the house of God all my life. Give me the zechut to sit in the Bet Midrash. Ulbaker behechalo. And to visit his chamber. So the rabbis ask, you just ask to say you want to sit in the house all day long. Then you say you want to visit? Visit is from time to time. Sitting is permanent. Make up your mind, you want to sit or you want to visit? Shifti ulbaker. Same pasuk. How do they answer? I want to sit permanently, but I want to have the attitude of a visitor. A visitor, when he comes into the shul the first time, he's awed. He sits quietly, he doesn't open his mouth, he prays with kavanah. He's inspired, he's motivated by the surroundings, by the furnishing, the beautiful hechal. The second time he walks into the place already, he's comfortable. Now already he starts to see who's he going to sit next to. Then he starts with the social, the talking. The third time already, he thinks he owns the place. Fourth time already, he's telling the rabbi what to do. Fifth time already, he's on the committee. So you see, even something like sitting in the house of God could become routine for David HaMelech. So David says, I want the best of all worlds. I want to be there as a permanent resident in the Beit Midrash, but I want to have the attitude of a visitor. Ulbakir. I want to be a tourist. Yeah, I see the tourists every day in Manhattan. Their cameras, they're laden. Their necks are laden like the yoke on a cow with cameras. And all sorts of equipment. And they're all looking up in the Shamayim. They're like, what are they looking at? Every day I get off the bus, what are these guys looking at? Empire State Building. In your life, you're ever going to spend a second to bend your neck out of shape to go look at the Empire State Building? Well, who cares? What's the explanation? Because we got used to it. You live there, you saw it already once. Next subject. But these guys flew from China to come see this over here. Why? Ulbakir, Bikur, visit. Oh, it's Hadush, it's new, it's item. We'd be the same thing. You go to China, you'd be standing there taking 100 pictures of the Great Wall of China, like the Kotel, Lavdil, and they're looking at you, these crazy tourists, what are they doing? So it's a wall, what are they getting all excited about? The explanation is they're used to it already. With us, it's Hadush. So you see, even Yirat Shamayim can become stale. That's the advantage of a Baal Teshuvah. Baal Teshuvah have an advantage over us. People that just became religious. Because the guys that were religious, you know, from when they were young, we lose that zeal, you know. It's mechanical already. You get up, go to shul, pray, learn, you know. It's a routine. It's like a schedule. But these guys that just became religious, they're born again now. Oh, everything's a douche to them. Wow, item. You see them praying the Amidah like Shkipur every day. And we look at them, what are you getting all excited for? This guy, how long are you going to stay in the Amidah for? But he's got the idea. We became
immune. He's a visitor. So the visitor does it the right way. You see how careful they are with all the details. You say, like, to Eli, what are you going crazy for? You know, relax, so chill out, well, slow down. Yeah, because we're doing it for all these years already. So we know already it's not so important. What are we fooling? He's got the real attitude. Because he's still a visitor. Ulbaker behechalo. His Yirat Shamayim is fresh. Our Yirat Shamayim becomes stale. The Gemara says, Kevan de dash dash. You know what that means? Once you get used to it, you get used to it. The Gemara says that even by physical pain. There was a story of Titus. A seasonal story, I'll tell you. The Gemara says that Titus, the one that destroyed the second temple, he had a mosquito, Yitush, that flew up his nose. God was trying to tell Titus, you're starting with me, I'll send my weakest creature to come and fight you, you won't be able to fight it. It went up his nose and it started to peck away at his brain, and he was going crazy. I mean, he was beside himself. One day he's walking by a blacksmith, and he hears the guy banging on the anvil, and the mosquito stopped buzzing. He said, Babi Janin. It worked. Okay, I found my rifua. I'm just going to sit in front of this guy all day long and let him bang on the anvil, and the bug will stop making noise. That's what he did. It says, if it was a goy, he'd pay him. If it was a Jew, he wouldn't pay him. He says, I don't have to pay you. It's your pleasure to see me suffer like this. That's your payment, to watch me sitting here like an abba that I have to listen to this noise all day long. In any event, Gemara says, 30 days later, the thing started buzzing again. What happened? Kevande dash dash. He got used to it already. Even the bug in Titos's brain, like the first 30 days, hadush, bang, bang, what's going on? After 30 days, he knows it already. Oh, yeah. Nothing. The world's not coming to an end. The guy's just banging on an anvil, so I could also make noise with it. First 30 days, he didn't know what was going on. He was shocked. There was a story once in the shul. It was some hot Torah. They took out the Sefer Torah like we do from the Hechal. And everybody in the shul comes running to the Sefer Torah and bowing to it and kissing it. And the ladies all came close to the ladies section. And they, you know, kissing it and doing all that type of thing. Everybody's dancing with it. So the Hazan of the shul is watching everybody's reaction. He sees a little girl by the ladies section, numb to the whole situation. She didn't get up. She's not looking. She's not moving. All her friends are pushing. Want to get into the sefer. So he's a curious guy, this guy. He says, it's a little strange. Well, she shouldn't have any reaction to the sefer Torah and some hot Torah. So he says, I got to ask her. So he goes to Efti, he says, what's the story over here? No reaction when you see the Sefer Torah? She says, I see Sefer Torah all day long. They're on my table. There's scrolls all over the house. To me, I live with these Sefer Torah. The Hazan says, what do you mean? What does your father do? She says, my father's a sofer. On my father's table, I see Tefillin scrolls, Sefer Torah scrolls. This is the way of life for us. You can even become used to seeing a Sefer Torah if you see it so often. Rav Eliyahu Lopian says on himself, he says, when I just arrived to Eretz Yisrael, he says, I couldn't spit in Israel. Kiddushat Eretz Yisrael, like I spit on the floor. Kiddushat is the Holy Land. He says, but after a couple of however long there, then I also started spitting like everybody else. Hey, what happened? Israel didn't change. And like, even in the Gedolim, you see, in time, that passion wears off. I saw from Rav Elchanan of Asaman, Hashem Yimkom Damav, he asks, so why did God create us like this? Why did God create us that we just, we get acclimated to things? He should have created us that we're always motivated. Doesn't the religion demand motivation? So create us where we're always psyched. We're always excited. Why do we get bored? So why do we get used to things? So he says, no, it's because by getting used to things, that's where free will comes in. If you're always excited, there's no free will. If when you walked into shul, you saw $1 billion paycheck that you're going to get for it, so of course, you've got to be a fool not to go to shul. So they got to make it humdrum. Hey, walk in, okay, you don't see it. But now that you get excited about it, you can get credit. He even writes, a little deep what I'm going to say now, from Rav Elchanan of Asma, that's what he says. He says, that's why a child is not born with his full intellect. Children, they slowly develop their knowledge till they mature. Why aren't we just born smart, understanding everything? So he says, because if a child was born out of his mother's womb, already understanding everything, he'd look at the world, he'd say, she be Jannin, what a world, this is a miracle, there has to be a God in this world, impossible, this thing could not just come like this. So therefore, there would be no challenge. So what does God have to do? He creates us where we mature slowly and we just get used to it. The world was always here. Here's the world. It's been around for years like this. That's no hadush. And therefore it becomes a challenge. Who created it? Was it here? Was it not? But if you just saw it in one second when you were born, automatically believe in God. Well, it's too overwhelming. So it develops slowly, so eventually you just get used to it. Yeah, there's always trees. Well, there's trees, there's grass. Well, I was here from when I was a kid. So he coaxes you into it in order to have free will. So to get out, to say that it's a bad thing, to get used to things, to acclimate, you can't say it's a bad thing. But sometimes it works out disadvantage. In religion, it works out disadvantage a lot of times. Yeah, you're right. Free will, it helps us. So how do you keep and stay excited? That's the real question. You're following what we're doing here tonight, gentlemen? You won't appreciate this maybe tonight. This is something to most people, it's aleph bet. What the rabbi talking about? Yirat Shamayim. Nothing better to do. He brought you out on a Tuesday night in the middle of the summer talking about Yirat Shamayim. You know, tell me something that counts. Tell me something that's meaningful. You didn't talk about, Perasha. Yirat Shamayim. What can you tell about Yirat Shamayim? Fear God. Next. Finish. What is he going to tell you? What's the title of Yirat Shamayim? We know you have to fear God. Next subject. I don't want you to underestimate what we're talking about here tonight. It's great value. Misirat Yesharim writes as an introduction that in his book, you're not going to find any Hadushim. There's no novel ideas. I'm just reviewing the basic stuff that people neglect because it's so basic. You know, go tell somebody, I want to talk to you tonight about making the Tilat Shadayim in the morning. Come on, Tilat Shadayim. But most people probably don't know how to make the Tilat Shadayim in the morning. But they're too embarrassed to go review it because it's so basic. When you start going back to the alphabet, the essentials, you realize how important it is. So the Hachamim tell us, one of the ways to stay motivated in Yirat Shamayim is to come and study Musar. That's one way. Musar, ethics. Every day, 10, 15 minutes, a half hour, open up a book, tells you about Olam Abba, reminds you about Gan Eden, reminds you about the reward that's out there for you, reminds you about the punishment. Musar is like a pep talk. I don't know how many of you are involved in the sport of football, but it's a famous scene in football locker rooms where you see, a bunch of these thugs with all their gear on, and they're all huddled around, the small little midget in the middle, the coach. And what are they doing over there? He's giving them musar. Whoa, we gotta win, we're gonna kill him, we're gonna beat him, we're gonna do it. And you ask yourself, well, what do you need that speech for? They don't know what they're doing. They're getting paid millions of dollars a year. They play 16 lousy games. They don't know what they're doing. They traveled from one side of America to the other side to play football to win the game. They're practicing from August. Well, so you need this guy to come in and tell them, Hadush, oh, we got to fight him, we got to beat him. Well, what are you doing? What are you reminding them of? So you see, everybody needs motivation. Even the football player with the gear on, with all his preparation, needs to be reminded what he's there for. And that's for stupidity. Kal vachomer, we need to be reminded from day to day what we're on earth for. Because we lose the goal, we lose focus. So now if I told you, oh, you come to shul tonight, for coming tonight, you're going to make $1 billion deposited to your account in Shamayim. Oh, everybody's excited. But what happens tomorrow morning? You forget it. Tonight you feel good. You got to remind yourself tomorrow the same thing. Musar. Musar is the pep talk. To preserve Yirat Shamayim. I want to point out, there was a great mahloket between the Hasidim and the Mitnagdim. The school of the Gaon Mevilna and his adversaries, the Hasidim at the time. There was actually a book called Nefesh HaHaim written by Rav Chaim Volozhin that discussed this machloket. The Hasidim, they learned Musar all day long. Rav Chaim Volozhin was against it. You can't give a pep talk all day long. You know, the coach is giving a pep talk to players, but the game started. Oh, in the middle of the pep talk, in the middle of the shmooze. Yeah, but then the third quarter already, they're playing the game already. We didn't go out in the field yet. Oh, not finished the tour. We're going to kill them. We're going to beat them. We're going to get them. We're going to win. We're going to do it. Referee comes in, you forfeited the game. Oh, I was in the middle of a pep talk, but you didn't play the game. So all the musar is only a means to do. So Rav Chaim Volozhin and the Nefesh HaHaim speaks very strong. He says, Yirat Hashem Yotzaro, that Yirat Shamayim is like a... What does he say? It's like a treasure. It's like a warehouse. And every time you learn Yirat Shamayim, you're building a warehouse. But if you don't fill it up with goods, what's the worth of a warehouse? Yirat Hashem Yotzaro, it's an otzar. But if you don't learn, if you don't practice, it's an empty otzar. He even says... He says like this, there's a Gemara in Baba Metzi'ah. It says when a person is buying a certain amount of wheat, let's say he's buying a kur, it's a measure, kur of wheat. So the seller is able to put a kav of chumtin in the bag. Chumtin is a preservative. So the guy's getting one kur minus a kav. So he comes to the rabbi, hey, I bought a kav, I bought a kur, and the guy sketched me. It's not a kur. It's a 99 plus a kav of preservative. Halakha says the sale is a sale, he has no claim. Because if you don't have the preservative, then you have nothing. So it's assumed that when you're going to go buy a kur, that there's going to be some preservatives in there. You understand? So the Rav Chaim understands that the preservative of Torah is Musar. But it's a preservative. So he says, interesting. He writes, there's 180 kabim in a kur. So he says, based on that calculation, for every 180 minutes of Torah, 1 minute of Musar. Instead, every 3 hours you learn, 1 minute of Musar. It's not a lot. So they once asked one rabbi, so how come in the yeshivas they learn for half hour, 45 minutes? He says, because Rav Chaim Volozhin said, for every hour you learn, you need, every 3 hours you learn, you need 1 minute. But for every minute you make bitul Torah, then you need a lot much more musar.
Understood what he said?
3 hours of learning, 1 minute's okay. But 3 hours of bitul Torah, you need much more musar than that. Fellow once went to his rabbi, he said, Rabbi, I only have 1 hour to learn. Should I learn Gemara or Musar? The rabbi said, learn Musar and you'll realize that you have more than 1 hour to learn. Smart. At the pep talk. So there is value to this. You have people on the outside. Now when people get together to a class, not a Gemara class. Not with the books and the thumbs, and the, which is the main learning. No one argues. So they call it entertainment. This is the Yetzer Hara's language. You need to, like a bellows, to keep the fire going, you need to fan it once in a while. It's not entertainment. Classes like this are classes of Yirat Shamayim. In order that, as a result, you go out and you... It's the pep talk. Agreed. For every 1 hour pep talk, go learn 10 hours. No one argues. And it would be foolish to sit every single night and give pep talks. But there's a value. Yirat Shamayim needs to be worked on. It needs to be developed. Yirat Shamayim is not one of those things where it just happens. There's more to say. One last point. Obviously, we're not going to master Yirat Shamayim in one night. I'll leave you one last thought that I saw from my rabbis. So Musar is one solution. Can I review just for myself what we did here tonight? Yirat Shamayim, the way to acquire it is through sensory perception, to make it real. What we're up against is the fact that it becomes dull, we get used to it, and therefore it loses its excitement. The way to keep it exciting is learn Musar, whether it's the Path of the Just, Chovot HaLevavot, Rabbeinu Yonah Sha'arei Teshuvah, today there's books in English. Every day, 10-15 minutes. Half hour. Moshe Rabbeinu, I saw this, the Ramban brings this down. Moshe Rabbeinu is having a whole dialogue with God. God says, go take the Jewish people out of Egypt, go speak to Paro. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, I'm kivad peh v'kivad lashon. I have a lisp. I'm not capable. And there's a whole discussion. 7 days they were arguing, the Midrash says. Back and forth. Go and have a lisp. So the Ramban asks, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu just tell God, heal my lisp? It's the easy answer. God can just go, I'm finished. It's over. So the Ramban says, because that lisp came about through a miracle. Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting on Paro's lap, you know the story. And the stargazers told Paro, be careful, this Moshe, this boy over here is going to be a future leader. He wants to take over your position, he's going to be the leader of the Jews, whatever they told him. Because they saw Moshe Rabbeinu take the crown off Paro's head and put it on his head. He said, oh, that's a bad sign. So Paro's, nah, he's a kid, he's just playing. Oh, let's test him. So they put a pile of gold, they put a pile of fire, coals. Let's see what he picks. If he picks the gold, then he knows what he's doing. If he picks the fire, he's a kid. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu went for the gold. He knew what he was doing. The Malach came and pushed his hand, he grabbed the coal. His hand was on fire, he put his finger in his mouth, hence the lisp. So the lisp, it's a miracle from God. If he went for the gold, Paro would have killed him on the spot. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to forget it. He says, I can't ask for that this to go away. I want to be want to remember that. That's God, Siman. So the rabbis say from that,
that you have to take advantage of those moments. The moments that you get inspired and you hear something and the Yirat Shamayim kicks in for that second, you have to do something. So you don't forget that moment. You accept upon yourself something. For now on, this is what I'm going to do now. That's it. Which means you can't let that moment, an opportunity where the Yirat Shamayim was ignited, just to let it pass. David HaMelech said he killed a lion. Can I quote you the passage? You have a minute? Anybody going anywhere? I have somewhere to go, but this is important also. We're here already, so. David HaMelech says, there was a sheep. The lion came and took the sheep. David went and took the lion and he tore it up, put his hands. He killed the lion. He killed the lion and its cubs, a bear and its cubs. David. So he says, V'nasa seme ha'eder. And the lion picked up a sheep from the flock. But the Gaon Mevilna says that the word se is written in the Tanakh ze. V'nasa ze meha'eder. That I took, or that it took this from the flock. What this? So the Gaon Mevilna learns from here that David HaMelech took that sheep and skinned it and made a jacket out of it. And he said, V'nasa ze. You see, he pointed it. He was wearing the jacket. Why? Says the Gaon Mevilna. In order to remember the miracle. Even David HaMelech used this trick. He didn't just say, oh, God made a miracle. Next, I'll remember it. Don't worry, I'll remember it. No, he took a Polaroid and carried it with him. This is the miracle. Look, I have it here. What, you don't remember it? You were there. I'm going to see it. He wore the jacket. He said, this jacket. This is the miracle. So if David HaMelech used that reality in order to make religion real, Kavahomer, we need this as well. And as I said, that will come through Musar, and that will come from taking advantage of those moments when the Yirat Shamayim is burning in us. And we must be reminded of this every day. We cannot belittle what we're saying here tonight. And once we have Yirat Shamayim, then everything else. Ahavat Hashem, Avodat Hashem, Alechta Bidrachav. Don't kid yourselves. Yiratzon, that the fear of God that you have should be like the way you fear people. Don't be embarrassed. It'll be Hanan's blessing. So, no, Hashem Shalom, I'm Sadiq. Of course I fear God more than I fear people. The first Tanakhah, Shuhan Aruch, Shiviti Adonai L'Negdi Tamid. And the Rama brings from the Moreh Nevuchim in the first Tanakh and Shulchan Aruch that you have to imagine if you were sitting in front of a king, how would you sit? How would you eat? How would you talk? He's giving you mashal. This is Rambam. He's talking to a 3-year-old. In front of a king, wouldn't you sit with respect? So Kavah Omer, when you're sitting in front of the King of Kings, God, you have to sit with respect, with kavod. He didn't confuse you in philosophy. He didn't tell you, oh, the God, omnipresence. He gave you a simple third grade mashal. If you're sitting in front of a king, how would you sit? Finish, same thing with God. You can tell that to a 2-year-old, he understands it. That's how you have to simplify the religion to make it palatable. As tavin yirat Hashem. Then you begin to understand fear of God. Reshit chokhma yirat Adonai. And that's the first field of education, the first field of knowledge that we have to master. Because once we master that ki'im yirat Hashem, then be'azat Hashem, all the other levels follow. The halakha l'maaseh from this class, accept it upon myself as well, b'li neder. To learn a little musar every day. To build warehouses, but more importantly, to fill them up. For every 1 hour of class like this, you have to go to 10 hours of Gemara. The ladies have to go to 10 hours of Halakha. If it doesn't interfere with taking care of their children and tending to their husbands, that's the most important Halakha. And Be'azrat Hashem, if we can work on this, and our Yirat Hashem will become enhanced, then already we can start aspiring to all the other lofty levels. Tonight we have Yesod Binyan. That's the foundation. And once the foundation is Yirat Hashem, when Kashrut becomes poison and Shemirat Shabbat and Hilul Shabbat becomes sickness, did you understand it then? As Tavin Yirat Hashem. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen. Rabbi Hananya Melech Hashem. Amen. Asakos Baruch Kodesh Kod Yisrael. Yifichach Kempadosh Neymar. Achafes Matzitkoye De Torah Ve'yadir.